Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. Currently, we are working our way through Matthew chapter 24, which contains the predictions that the Lord made about the last days. We find ourselves going through verses 4 through 14, which discuss the 6 specific signs that the Lord said would take place before his second coming. And these 6 signs are, number 1, the false Christ mentioned in verses 4 and 5. Number 2, the wars and rumors of wars in verses 6 and 7. Number 3, death through famine, pestilences, and earthquakes in verses 7 and 8. The 4th sign is persecution, which is found in verse 9. The 5th sign is defection or apostasy in verses 10 through 13. In our study today, we'll look at that 6th and final sign, that the gospel will be preached into all the world, as recorded in verse 14. Verse 14 reads this way, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So the Lord clearly says that before he comes back in his second coming, the gospel will be preached in all the world. And it's interesting that there are 2 places in the book of Revelation which speaks about this preaching of the gospel and this witness that'll go out into all the world. This first one is found in Revelation chapter 14, starting at verse 6, which says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." So here we see that the Lord is actually going to use an angel which will fly through the heavens to preach the everlasting gospel, that every tribe, tongue, people, and nation will be able to hear the gospel. So the Lord's going to give everyone an opportunity before he comes back in judgment. And I could with great confidence say that this is not what TBN is saying is their satellite that's flying out in the heavens right now, the Holy Beamer. This is an angel that's going to go out and preach the real gospel. And to be honest with you, many of the programs on TBN are distorting the true gospel of Jesus Christ and not really preaching the everlasting gospel. So it's going to be in the hands of God, and he's going to make sure that all peoples in the last days, because he's gracious and merciful and desires all men to come to repentance, that they will get the true gospel preached to them. And then they will have an opportunity to make a decision, either for or against the Lord, either to follow the Antichrist and take his mark, or to receive Jesus Christ and suffer persecution for it. Another place which speaks about the witness that will be in the last days is in Revelation chapter 11, which speaks about the 2 witnesses and the ministry they will have, which states it will impact the entire world. In Revelation chapter 11, starting at verse 3, reads this way, "And I will give power to my 2 witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth," which is a 3.5-year period, or half the time period of the tribulation period. "These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 lampstands standing before the God of earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner." Now, these are the type of friends that you want to have during the tribulation period. Verse 6 says, "These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire." Look at verse 7. "Now, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them." Notice it's after they finish their testimony. That shows that God is in control of these 2 witnesses. God allows them for a certain period of time, a 3.5-year period. They fulfill their ministry, and then the Lord allows their life to be taken. And here's how the world will treat them. "And their bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified," which is a reference to Jerusalem. Here it shows that Jerusalem will be the center of false religion described as Sodom and Egypt. "Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in the grave." Notice it says the peoples from the tribes, tongues, and nations, which is talking about around the world. They're going to be able to see this, that their bodies lay in the street for 3.5 days. "And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these 2 prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth." Now, they tormented them because they told them the truth. And sometimes speaking the truth brings torment to people, and they would like nothing more than for you to be shut up and to be quieted, just like it'll happen during the tribulation period here. These will preach the truth. They'll preach the gospel. They'll also preach God's judgment. And people will want them to die. And when they die, they're going to be so happy they're going to send gifts to one another. But that's not the end of the story. God has a last word. And verse 11 reads this way. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 men were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. So somehow, probably through TV or through the means of a satellite, all the world will be able to watch this at one time, and they'll see God bring these two faithful witnesses up to heaven to resurrect them right there after they've been dead in the street for 3.5 days. Just think of the impact that that's going to have upon people. And then it says this great earthquake is going to take place, and it says the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. And so this will have a tremendous impact upon those who are able to witness this. And so the message of the gospel will go out through this incredible miracle of the resurrection. There's one other place which probably speaks of a witness that'll go out there in the land of Israel, maybe even farther, and that is in Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8, which describe the 144,000. There's 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 4 reads this way, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now, Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5, describes these 144,000 this way. And we'll definitely see they are not the Jehovah's Witnesses. First of all, it says they're from the 12 tribes of Israel and mentions the 12 tribes by name. And then verses 1 through 5 describe them this way. Then I looked and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard the voice from heaven like a voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. So in order to qualify to be one of the 144,000, you have to be first from one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and you have to be a virgin. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Now, first fruits is describing the first group or the first produce that comes in. It's the first of much more to be brought about. And so the 144,000 are just the first portion of a multitude that are going to be saved among the nation of Israel as well as from around the world. Verse 5 says, in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, I know it is true that nowhere in the book of Revelation does it describe these 144,000 as evangelists, or they go out and preach the gospel. But it is more than possible that here is a special group in the tribulation period that God seals, that calls his first fruits. There is no doubt that he is going to use them as a witness and a testimony. And I like the way David Hawking describes them as 144,000 kosher Billy Grahams who are filled with the Spirit roaming about. They are going to have some sort of witness and impact. And they are just the first fruits, the first of many to come that will be saved during the tribulation period. So whether these are evangelists or not, we definitely see that God is redeeming a select group from the nation of Israel, and there's no doubt that he will use them during the tribulation period. With a little bit of time left that we have, I'd like to encourage you in the area of evangelism from John chapter 4. Since we're seeing this witness that will take place during the tribulation period, God always has a witness, always has a remnant, always has those that will go out and share their faith and be involved in the area of bringing people to himself. And in John chapter 4, what I want you to see is that not everyone is going to be an evangelist, but we can all participate in the area of evangelism. Jesus said in verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. This was 2,000 years ago. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. And so the Lord here says that there's some that are going to be sowing the seed, there's going to be others that are reaping, and both are important, and both are going to receive wages. Both are going to receive blessings from God or rewards when they stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. So not everyone is going to have the privilege or opportunity to directly lead someone to the Lord, but you can be one that waters the seed or one that sows the seed. And don't get discouraged. If that's a ministry God's given to you, if that's a grace that he's given to you, continue to be about your Father's business. Continue to be about that field, sowing the seed, because the Lord will lead someone else to water the seed and then lead someone else to reap the harvest. Also in verse 38, Jesus says this about his disciples. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. So he says to the disciples that they're going to go in and they're going to reap a harvest where they have not labored. Others have labored. That's all the Old Testament saints and prophets that were ministering to the nation of Israel and sowed the seed of the word of God, yet were not able to reap the harvest that the disciples would enter into. And that's the way the Lord works in the area of evangelism. Sometimes you are one that are sowing seeds and others come in and reap where they haven't labored. And other times you're an individual that is able to lead others to the Lord that you don't even know, that you haven't labored, that you haven't prayed for. You're entering into someone else's labor. And so the Lord uses the body of Christ as teamwork. And don't get discouraged in your role. You may be one that's able to come in and reap where you have not labored. Either way, we continue to labor and do this by the energy and power of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord has left us here as a witness, as salt and light in this generation. I believe that there'll be a great witness that'll go forth during the tribulation period, but God wants to do that very thing in and through us now in this generation. We're the generation called to reach this generation. Let's be about our Father's business. I hope our studies this week have helped you understand a little more about the events that'll take place in the last days leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. If we could help you in any way in your study of the Word of God, that's what our passion desires to do so. We do have some wonderful correspondence courses available via tape that you could take, or if you want copies of the studies that we've done here on Solid Ground, you could contact us at 1-877-941-LAMB, which is a toll-free number. Or you could look us up on the website for the same information at www.calvarylm.org.